Good morning. What a blessed day to be in the Lord's house. So thankful for all our children this morning. Wasn't that wonderful to see them here? And I think I've got everyone here this morning. So I just want to say this real quick. I want to thank Emily and Misty and Nick and Tad for the work they're doing on Wednesday night with the RAs and GAs. They are having a really good turnout each and every week. And it's so important to teach, because that's what we're going to talk about. This world is full of the wrong message, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. This is one of those times where I wish I had a bigger platform, because the message this morning is simply, wake up, America. Wake up, America. You see, in our country, the greatest need is not equality of the sexes. Our greatest need is not more gun control. It's not educational improvement. Our greatest need is not health care reform or social unity. It is not improved foreign relations. It's not a deficit reduction. America's single greatest need is an old-fashioned, Holy Spirit-powered, God-sent revival. Amen? Wake up, America. Simple text this morning, Psalm 85, 6 and 7 says this, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation." Now, first thing I want you to notice is that the psalmist asks a question, "Will you not revive us again?" You know, the thing about it, there's an old hymn we sing. It's called Revive Us Again. When we sing that song, though, do we know what we are singing? When we ask for revival, do we truly know what it is that we ask for? Now, I don't believe I'll get any debate this morning when I say our country needs a revival. I think all I have to do is point to last weekend when we saw protesters dressed in ridiculous costumes protesting for the right to kill unborn children. Interestingly, it occurred the very weekend of the week back in 1984, President Ronald Reagan set aside a Sanctity of Life Week. Now, for many, we look at the election as a positive thing. I personally do as well. I think it's a great step for our country. Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter who sits in the White House. The only thing that'll fix this country is if we come back to God, is if we have revival. The only thing that'll fix this country and fix the people is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our country has turned from God. We murder innocent lives in the name of convenience. We have disregarded God's plan for marriage. We deny the biblical roles of men and women. We need a revival. Wake up, America. And as our country falls farther and farther away from God, many Christians have grown cold. Many Christians are being conformed to the world, rather being conformed to the image of Christ as we are commanded. There are many who have grown cold in the desire for God's word. They've grown cold in service. They've grown cold in their desire to see people saved. We need to wake up. Families and churches need to wake up. Pastors need to wake up. We as individuals need to wake up. We need to realize that we have a need for revival. And I'm talking about old-fashioned, come down to the altar, on your face before God, revival. Let's talk about what revival is. Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not evangelism. It's not about winning souls. It's a result of revival, but that's not what revival is. Revival's not about emotion. Although that will come from revival when people's hearts will be moved. What revival is, it's a renewal of our spiritual life. individually or collectively as a church. It's simply God's people getting right with God. We need revival. Charles Finney said this is a revival. He said the foundations of sin need to be broken up. Revival always includes conviction of sin on the part of the church. Revival, if we look at it this way, it's real similar to the lost person coming to Christ in repentance. Because revival is renewal. It's a coming back. It's stoking that fire. It's a new beginning in our obedience to God. We draw near to Him in a new and fresh way. That fire that once burned so hot becomes rekindled. You know, it's always so exciting to see a new Christian. Last week, we observed baptism. And we have a young man, Joel, who was baptized. He's on fire. You know, he's posting on social media. He's sharing this newfound faith with friends and family. He's excited about what God has done in his life. And he's not bashful about it. He's not shy about it. He's not hiding that. You know, I think back. It's been some time now. But, you know, when we baptized Susan, oh my goodness. I don't think that smile's come off her face yet. She has such enthusiasm, a passion, and love for Christ. You see, we come to Christ and we have this white-hot fire. We're excited. But unfortunately, for so many, that goes away. We lose that fire that once burned so hot. And it needs to be rekindled. And that starts with repentance. We need our hearts broken for our own sin. You know, we talk about our hearts should break for lost. Listen, our hearts should break for our own sin, and we need to repent of it. We need to get on our faces and get right before a holy God. So you say, well, you're saying we need revival. How do you know that? When is revival needed? It is needed when the love of God's people grows cold. It is needed when His people are cold in their desire to serve. Is needed when God's people grow cold in their desire to obey, when they're cold in their love for others. And we probably agree with that. So, but how do we know? What are the signs? We put it in medical terms, what are the symptoms of this condition? It begins with complacency. When we see complacency, when we see people satisfied with the status quo, when we're happy where we're at. See some churches. You know? We look at numbers. We're running okay numbers. We look at the offering. Yeah, we're in the black. We're good. It's good. It's all good. No, it's not. That's complacency. That's being satisfied with where we're at. Where we're at is we need to be focused on the sharing of the gospel of Christ with the lost. There's no place for complacency in the church. What's another sign? Lack of concern for the lost. I'll tell you something. There are many churches that literally show no evidence of evangelism, no desire. There's so many churches that solid teaching maybe, right? But they become country clubs. This select group, they come in, they meet, they fellowship. You know, they get in fellowship, their coffee, they have their little coffee room at the back and they have their coffee and donuts and they come together in fellowship and they hear the word and they go home. And that's the extent of it. People, we're about evangelizing. We're about going out in this community and sharing Christ with our neighbors. Another sign. And don't worry. Pick on myself too. But there are many living in sin. And when I say myself too, I'm including a group. I'm guilty by association. There are many preachers failing to walk the walk. They're telling people, do as I say, not as I do. You have preachers on TV telling you to live in humility, living outrageous, lavish lives. They're not walking the walk. They're telling you what to do. When I speak of preachers, Jeremiah 23, 1 through 3 speak this. It says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock, have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. Men standing in pulpits need not be concerned about their numbers, need not be concerned about the money coming to play. They need to be concerned about the souls of the people in that church. They need not be worried about their status in the community. They need not be concerned that they might offend somebody. They need to be preaching the gospel. They need to be preaching Christ crucified, his death and resurrection. Can you tell I was ready to preach today? We need the Bible. When there is unrepentant sin in the church, it needs to be addressed by individuals. Because here's a problem amongst Christians, more and more. We're living like the world and being okay with it. God calls us to be separate. We're not to be like the world. We should look different from the world. Many have become puffed up. Many deal with the sin of pride, relying on ourselves with the attitude, I can do this. I don't need God. This attitude, look what I did. Not what God did. Look what I did. Let me tell you something. I don't do anything apart from God. If I have any measure of success here, it is what God has done. We need to understand this, and this is why we need revival. Any condition of spiritual standing where we are less than we were before means we've backslidden. Means we're backslidden. As I said, when we come to Christ, we're on fire. We are on fire. We're so excited. That is not meant to be a temporary state. It's not like the new car that you drive around for a while, lose the new car smell, kind of lose the luster, and it's just a car. It's not the way it is. As Christians, it's not meant to be a temporary state. It's how we should live our lives. As a matter of fact, we talked about it last week. We come to Christ, we're born again. We're immature, we're on fire. But listen, we're to grow, we're to mature. And that fire should not just dwindle, it should build and burn brighter and brighter as we grow through experience and maturity. But here's what happened. We allow the world to douse that fire. We don't spend enough time in the Word like we should. We don't have an attitude of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 tells us we are to be praying without ceasing. We don't seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We don't attend church regularly to hear the Word and to fellowship and be encouraged by others. Might be stepping on toes this morning. Here's the danger in our need for revival. We don't see it. We don't see it. We think we're fine. We have spiritual deterioration, but we're not aware of it. We think we're fine. Here's the deal for many people. We go to church most of the time. You know, we pray sometimes. Tell everybody we believe in God, right? So we think we're good. We don't realize we have a need. We don't realize that fire has grown cold. I want to share with you an Old Testament figure. Had the power of God upon him, but got caught up in sin, lost his power. And my guys who are here in the Wednesday night group will know this story well. When we talked about Samson, Samson was used mightily by God. And he was empowered by God, but he drifted away. He got caught up in sin. And he was not serving as God intended him to do. And because he lost his power, but he didn't even know it. We read in Judges chapter 16, verses 20 and 21. Speaking to Delilah, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." He wasn't scared because he'd done this before. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. He got complacent. He got prideful. He had the power of God upon him and he had done great things. But it left him. He didn't even realize it. So for us, many times the condition of our hearts is such that we're not aware of our need for revival. Matter of fact, our flesh will fight against it. But if we are going to have revival, we need to realize and see our need for it. One of the problems in our society is that people get so wrapped up in their own agendas. Lives are so busy that it leaves no time for the things of God. You know, and I get that. I get that. Lives are busy. We have a lot on our plates. But this speaks a lot to our focus and where our hearts are. And for many, it's an effort to spare a Sunday morning and then go on thinking that they're good for the week. Many Christians in this nation are Sunday morning people. You know, show up, get their air in, and go on about their business. I've been in churches where you would leave out there on Sunday and there's Bibles scattered throughout on pews. Look in that pew. By golly, when I come back next week, that's where I sit. And that's the extent of the Bible study, is when they come and hear it exposed from the pulpit. We need to cry out as the psalmist did, "Will you not revive us again?" Wake up, America. Wake up, Church of God. We need in this country a revival that will rekindle the fire of God's people. So let's think about what revive us again means. God's church needs to return to days when we fasted and prayed. When we came to church with great expectation of what God was going to do that day. See, too often we come and we've got all the stuff of the week in the back of our mind. And we come and do our time, but we're so distracted. Do you realize when we come to church on Sunday morning, we should have prepared for that previously? We should have prayed for that time. Well, you did it Saturday night, Sunday morning. But we need to pray for God that He would work in the service, that He would speak to us individually, that we would get from it what He desires us to. And we should pray for those that need a message that will lead them to Christ. We should come to church anxious to hear the Word, to hear the word preached from the pulpit. We should be anxious to feed on it. You know, again, going back to last week when we talked about growing maturity, like the babe thirsts for that pure milk. We should have a desire to come and feed upon the Word and to feed on the Word of the Gospel. We don't come to hear some motivational speaker. We should come desiring the meat and not settle for anything else. We need to get back to the days when we wouldn't even consider skipping church for something else. It needs to be a priority in our lives. Get back to longing to seeing hearts broken and souls saved. We need to get back to the days when we longed for and looked for ways to serve one another, to love one another, encourage one another. Back to days when we couldn't do enough in our service to God. We need revival that restores joy and victory back to God's children. Listen, there are too many Christians living in defeat. There are too many that are discouraged and all but giving up. We need a revival to remind us these words we see in Nehemiah 8:10. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We all face trials. We face tribulations. We have struggles. But understand, we have the power to overcome and to conquer. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Scripture tells us we should be joyful in all circumstances. How can we do that? Because Christ lives within us. Because no matter what happens in this world, we are His and no one can snatch us from Him. So we may agree, we can have revival, but how can we have it? We need it. How do we have it? First, foremost, we realize only God can bring real revival. Listen, I can pull out a calendar. I could schedule an event. I could bring in a great guest speaker. I could get a special musician. We can do all that. But all that is just another event. Only God brings true revival. He is the only source of it. And we will not see revival until we're diligent to realize our need for revival and pray and ask for it. And as the psalm is said, will you not revive us again? We need to cry out to God, revive us. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. I want to tell you something, people. We need to remember who we are. You know, it's interesting. I started a series with my Sunday school class this morning. Video series by Matt Chandler, excellent teacher. It really deals with gender issues, male and female, and in society. And I think it's going to be a wonderful study. So there's my shameless plug for anybody who wasn't here that needs to come. But in that, there's a wonderful reminder who God is and who we are. And all we have to do is look at the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I say, well, preacher, okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens, all the expanses, all the universes, all that, and He created the earth. What's the point in it? He is the creator. We are the creation. Creators create creations for a purpose. We are created for the purpose that He has determined for us. Hate to break it to y'all. It ain't about us. It's not about us. Sorry you had to hear that again, honey. I know it's difficult. It's not about us. It's about Him. We need to remember who we are. We need to say, as the prophet Isaiah did in Isaiah 6:5, Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah got it. He saw a glimpse of the glory and splendor of God Almighty, and he realized, woe is me. This is a man handpicked by God. He wasn't just some Joe off the street. It's Isaiah, the prophet. He was a man of unclean lips. He was given to teach the word of God. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Now I get this next part. I dwell in the midst of people unclean lips. We see that in our society. But we need to understand who we are when we think in terms of a holy and righteous God. When we see Jesus for who he is, then we can really see and understand how sinful we are. And when we get right perspective, we will understand that we need him and that in and of ourselves, we're nothing apart from Christ. So the point is, we need to be honest with ourselves and lose the pride that we have, that we recognize we're sinners that are only saved by grace. It's only by the grace of God. And we need to realize we are a backslidden nation who desperately, desperately needs God's grace. And we need to acknowledge God for who he is. We need to get down on our faces and desperately seek him. I love this next text. 2 Chronicles 7:14. What a great promise. What a great promise. He says, if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek give their sins and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. It's a great promise. That's what we should be desiring. Let me tell you something. Every time I make the mistake of turning on the news, I pray for God to heal this land. To understand this is if, then. There's something we have to do, right? As a church, we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek God. And we need to turn from our sins. This is our part. And it is incumbent upon us to obey God's instructions. And if we do our part, we can be confident that he will do his. How we know he'll do his? Let me tell you something. I shared a great example with these children. People would struggle with that. Oh my gosh. That's a fairy tale that God parted the sea and made that sea bottom dry land. He did it. And he is faithful. And he promised his people that land. And just as he says, if you do this, I will heal your land. We can count on that. God is always faithful and true. We see it throughout Scripture. So church, we need to see sin for what it is, and we must confess it and repent of it and turn from it. Because God's not going to use a dirty vessel. It begins with us. See your sin, confess it, turn from it. God wants to send revival to those who genuinely seek it. And we need revival. We need everyone getting in right relationship with God. And now more than ever, we need to preach the word and live it out. Let me tell you something. Our country needs to get back to in God we trust. So, again, I say, wake up, America, and cry out for revival. Would you pray with me?